We have a talk from Rose Wolterman on intercessory prayer. Rose?
Thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. I just want to start off by saying I feel like I'm one of the luckiest people in the world to be a part of this community, because we can love God together and we can speak the truth to each other. So what I'm going to share with you tonight might be shocking, or maybe you already know about a lot of things I will say. But everything I will say is the truth, and it's the facts. You can even fact check me. I went to a fundraiser for Reach Out Pregnancy Center in Harrison, and the keynote speaker was Abby Johnson. If you have seen the movie Unplanned or read the book, you know that it's the story of Abby's journey as an employee at Planned Parenthood. She was there for 8 years. Well, she doesn't work there anymore, and now she's a powerful advocate for life. The theme of Abby's presentation was to be bold. So I'm going to be bold and share her story, because we have the power to change the course of history, and I'll tell you how. Abby has 8 children, ages 17 down to 5. And she was very candid when talking about her family. She said they shop at Costco and Sam's because they buy everything in bulk. People who see her in the stores with her kids say to her, "What a beautiful family. What a beautiful family. Are you Catholic or Mormon?" Excuse me. And with lots of small children in her home, her husband complains that everything in their house smells like pee. Abby has written a couple of books, and she told her husband that if either one of them ever writes a book again, the title will be Everything Smells Like Pee. Abby had 2 abortions before she had her 8 children. She talked about being in college and a woman coercing her to work for Planned Parenthood. She told Abby that women needed better health care or they'd be lying in the alleys bleeding to death. Well, Abby believed that she was really going to be helping women. And this was back in the 90s when abortion was still rather taboo. Abby talked about how your heart can become callous. She said there was a big gay guy, those are Abby's words, at Planned Parenthood who showed her a room called the POC room, P-O-C, which stood for Products of Conception. And there was a keypad, like with numbers and letters, to get in that room. And the keypad code to that room was 2229, which spelled baby. And this guy thought that was so funny and laughed about it. Abby said she fake laughed, as she knew it wasn't funny. She said that was the beginning of the many calluses that formed on her heart. There was a big freezer in that room that contained baby body parts. And they called that freezer the nursery. The same guy laughed about that too. Again, Abby fake laughed, another callus on her heart. Abby knew that working at Planned Parenthood was wrong. And the way she knew was that she didn't tell her parents. She worked there for 1.5 years before her parents knew anything about it. She talked about the ultrasound-guided abortion that she witnessed and how that was what radically changed her life. She could see the little boy baby on the ultrasound. The abortionist said to his assistant, "Beam me up, Scotty." And within minutes, the baby was gone. Abby said this baby boy would be 14 years old now, and if she would have done something, anything to stop that abortion, the entire course of that woman's life could have been changed. One of the most disturbing things she said is that there are over 70 websites where a person can order the abortion pill. You don't even have to give them a date of birth. Just a name is sufficient, and it can even be a man's name. Abby said she put in her name, and they offered her the abortion pills. She thought for sure her name would be on a blacklist. It cost $100, but if you don't have the money, that's okay, because they have donors who will cover the cost for you. Admittedly, all pregnant women and young girls don't go hopping and skipping happily into abortion clinics. If you saw the movie, which is a documentary of Abby's experiences, some are forced to abort their babies by parents or boyfriends. I know women who have had abortions, and I would never judge them. I think we're all very aware that our culture does not support or teach our children anything about abstinence or chastity, and sex before marriage is treated with a very cavalier attitude. And as a result, our thinking has become convoluted. To give you an example, I have a friend who volunteers at a pregnancy center, and one pregnant young woman said with a smile on her face, "You could love your baby and still kill it." In relation to this, I heard a talk at St. X High School years ago by a woman who worked at Planned Parenthood. She said that when they counsel these women and young girls, they make them feel trapped and say things like, "Where are you going to get $2,000 if you have to move out of the house?" And they purposely gave low-dose birth control pills to young girls, knowing that the probability to get it pregnant again was greater, so that meant they came back again for another abortion. Whenever I see little children on a playground, in the store, or at Mass, I say to Jesus, "Jesus, cover these little ones with your precious blood and protect them from all evil. Don't let them be duped by our culture. Make them your voice. Make them your disciples." In her testimony, Abby Johnson said she believes that abortion will not ever be legislated out of our country. And she's right, because St. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. So, why am I telling you all this? There's so many other problems in the world, right? Why the focus on abortion? It's because abortion is the greatest evil of all evils. It is the root of all evil. Abortion ends the life of an unrepeatable human being. We are fighting against demons. Many of you are familiar with Father Joseph Iannuzzi. He's a renowned priest, theologian, and exorcist. He said that abortion is a sacrifice to Satan. Satan wants human life. And he quoted the saints in this regard. Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, "The fruit of abortion is nuclear war." Padre Pio said, "One day without any abortions is all that is needed in order for God to grant peace to the world until the end of time." Just one day. And Padre Pio died back in 1968. How many years ago did he say that? I was in grade school, and he was talking about abortion then. Sin is never a personal matter. It affects all of us. We are all connected. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, Jesus tells us, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He said, "Before I formed you," not "when I formed you." We were and always are in the mind of God. You know, I'm not saying that any of us here are complacent or cavalier toward the sin of abortion, but I have to admit that sometimes I feel helpless and hopeless over such a big and grave evil that's been going on for decades. So what's the answer? What are we to do? Well, it may sound simplistic, but I believe the power of intercessory prayer is grossly underestimated. Through many saints and mystics, God has given us a treasure trove of powerful means to mitigate and overcome the evil in our world. Do we take advantage of the power and graces he gives us? Jesus taught Saint Faustina that intercessory prayer was the way to answer all of her concerns. And when she interceded for others, she would reinforce her prayers by asking the saints to pray with her. And I always do this when I pray my rosaries. I ask the Blessed Mother to pray with me, and together we will invite the whole heavenly court, all the angels and saints, to pray with us. And we invite the souls in purgatory as we intercede for them. So when I do this, I have all of heaven praying with me and the souls in purgatory. Some of you are familiar with Catalina Rivas. She's a mystic from Bolivia, who at times she bears the stigmata, and she receives messages from the Blessed Mother about the Holy Mass. The Blessed Mother said that at the moment of the offertory at Mass, we should offer ourselves and all of our intentions, because our guardian angels are present and they carry our intentions to the altar. She also said that there are angels who go up to the altar empty-handed, because those are the angels of people who never offer anything. The Blessed Mother said the Mass has infinite value, so be generous in offering and asking. When I go to Mass, I put Planned Parenthood on the altar every time. In the Flame of Love movement, Elizabeth Kindleman, a widow from Hungary and a locutionist, was given prayers by the Blessed Mother that actually blind Satan. They are the Unity Prayer and the Flame of Love Prayer that many of you are familiar with. The Blessed Mother told Elizabeth that visiting the Blessed Sacrament in a spirit of atonement blinds Satan, and he loses dominion over souls. She said that even offering up your daily chores for God's glory blinds him. All of these things I'm sharing here with you have the two official seals of approval by the Catholic Church, the Neil Upstat and the Imprimatur. And all of our prayers, our works, and our efforts can be done in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, as if everyone were doing it with us, since God is, as Padre Pio puts it, in the eternal present. When we pray this way, it benefits the whole world. This was revealed to Jesus to Luisa Picaretta in her writings on divine will, which also has the Neil Upstat and the Imprimatur. In one of Luisa's writings, which I mentioned in my Beacon letter last summer, Jesus took Luisa around the earth to witness chastisements. He told her that he would take her along, but only on the condition that she would not plead with him to mitigate or stop the chastisement, or want to take it on herself, which she often did. Well, Luisa saw a place where everything was withered and dried up. She asked Jesus, "How will these people survive with everything dried up?" And at the time, Jesus was wearing a crown of thorns. Luisa said, "Let me wear the crown of thorns, if you will please save these people." So he said, there she is, trying to take on his pain again. Jesus replied to her that it just goes to show he cannot take her with him, because her intercession binds him from carrying out chastisements. Her intercession binds him. That is the power of intercessory prayer. I have to admit, when I first read that passage, I kind of chuckled, because I could just picture Jesus actually saying to Luisa, "Oh my gosh, Luisa, I can't take you anywhere." By our interceding for others, we are all vicariously victim souls to a certain extent through our prayers and sacrifices. And our sacrifices don't have to be something huge. God honors all of our efforts. He told Elizabeth Kindleman several times in her spiritual diary, "Do not be concerned that you can only give me small sacrifices." Now, I'll tell you, that's right up my alley. When I see abortion advocates at a protest yelling and screaming with anger and rage, I see a very broken and wounded people. They're filled with anger and rage because they're deeply hurting. I always ask Jesus to heal them, make them whole again. Don't let them be lost. Intercessory prayer demonstrates our trust in God's mercy, and He depends on us to ask for it with unbounded trust. The best news is what St. Paul tells us in Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So in other words, where there is the greatest outpouring of evil, there is the greatest outpouring of God's power and grace that trumps all evil. Sin is never a personal matter. We are all connected. How do we know that? I think Padre Pio's prophetic words explained it perfectly. Just one day without any abortions would bring peace to the world until the end of time. The power is in our hands to intercede for God's mercy with great confidence and trust, to intercede for a culture of life, to overcome a culture of death. Thank you.